Good morning. What an honor and blessing to be together, to worship God together. As you can see on the screen, our March theme is growing more in Jesus. Growing more in Jesus. We're going to continue the series from the last couple of weeks, thinking about the love of God, the love of God that will never fail nor lose its glory, the love of God that is seen as patterned, certainly in both Old and New Testaments, the love of God that is patterned to show us what the home should look like as well. And so we are studying the home, the love of God in the home. And we have looked at the role of husbands and wives. We have looked at the role of parents. Today we will look at the love of God in the home and talk about the role of the child. Think about a couple of things with me for just a moment. We'll get to Ephesians chapter 6, and so if you haven't turned there already, go ahead. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 will be our main text. A couple of ideas that we might think about for just a moment. We talk about husbands and wives, and yet knowing that not everyone in the audience is a husband or a wife. We talk about parents, and we well know that not everyone in the audience are parents. Yet we are all children. Something for us to all learn. Something for us to all teach other young people and children as well. And then when it all boils down to the very end of it all, we are the children of God. We are His offspring, created in His image. Genesis 1, verse 26. Therefore, what can we learn when we think about the pattern of the love of God in the home? What does it mean for us then, thinking about as children? We're all the children of someone, whether biologically or simply the one who chose to raise us up. We look to as parental figures, those who have helped us, those who have guided us. And so we are all children in that sense. Plenty of things then for us to learn, to apply, and then to turn around and to teach someone else. And certainly, just as it is a high honor to be blessed to have children, and it is a high honor, I believe, to have good Christian parents that will serve as guideposts, that will serve as directions, if you will, helping to guide us in the direction that we need to go. We need that. The same principle that is found in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know it's not in the way of man that walketh to direct his own steps. As children, as young people, we need direction. We need boundaries. We need rules among us so that we have an expectation. We know what's expected of us. We know the boundaries. We know the rules. We know there are consequences concerning those rules. All of those things help us to be better as being children. When I think about Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul, in writing about all of these relationships, by the way, going back to verse 21 in chapter 5, where we are submitting one to another as unto the Lord, this idea of submission hasn't been lost on the role of the husband, the wife, now the children. Later he's going to talk about in a few verses, servants and masters. We might think today, in today's setting, an employer and an employee. As a Christian, how should we act? How should we be living our lives? He simply opens up this chapter, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. 3 points to remember this morning, very simply. We're going to talk about obedience. We're going to talk about respect. And then number 3, we're going to talk about purity. We're going to talk about the role of children as it pertains to these 3 areas: obedience, respect, and purity. When I think about obedience, as Paul opens up this chapter and he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There are a couple things, that phrase, and we will also be studying that as well in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. We'll get to that hopefully this Wednesday evening as we're studying together in Bible class. That phrase, in the Lord, is important as well to understand that he's not just talking about there in that particular situation. Only if your parents are Christians must you obey them. No, as children, you have a responsibility in that home to be subject to your parents. That, he says, is the right thing to do. And it's interesting that in this passage, the end of the verse gives the explanation of the beginning. Why should children obey their parents? And here's the answer. It's very simple. It's the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. It's what is expected of us as children. And it is expected of parents, the role of parents, to teach and to train and to discipline. We talked about those things, to give instruction, to give direction, to set those boundaries. But the responsibility of the child is to be obedient unto those parents. It's the right thing to do, he says. But not only that, in verse 3 he says, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long upon the earth. Interestingly, that's what verse 2 talks about. You go back and you look, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, or with, some translations say, with a promise. And that's the idea, that it has a promise attached to it. That it may be well with you. That you may live a long life serving God in that way. Because it's not certainly the case that not every child that is born is going to live to a ripe old age of 100 plus. That's not the reality of things. We understand that. But the promise is that, very simply, and this goes back to the Old Testament as well, this is a repeat of what has been stated previously, is quoting this, so that it may be well with you. This was as those children of Israel were entering into the land of promise, by the way. You need to be obedient unto God, and you need to, children, obey your parents. They're giving you directions so that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the land that I'm giving to you. That was the direct promise that was given, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That explains the first command with a promise, if you will. What do we go back to? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. In chapter 20, the Ten Commandments are given in there. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land, upon that land which the Lord your God is giving to you. And so long before they even entered into the land, he says, children, you need to honor your parents. You need to be obedient and respectful to your parents. And so when we think about what is going on, Paul's simply taking what has been the principle that God has given to his people for all time to basically, you need to follow your parents. You need to be obedient unto your parents. They're going to teach you things. They're going to give instruction to you. They're going to guide you. Now, obviously, that places a huge responsibility upon those parents. And I know far too well that that's not the case, that every child grows up in a godly home with godly parents who are doing the right thing in the eyes of God, making it easy for that child then to see God in their lives. That's not the reality of things. That's not always the case. But this is the divine instruction, nonetheless, that's given. And so what does that mean for us? If it hasn't been the case that the previous generation has taught the youngest generation coming, then there has to be a change. And that generation then has to decide, this is what the Bible says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to train my children the way that God expects me to do. And so as children, we're supposed to be obedient unto our parents. Obey your parents in the Lord. It is the right thing to do. And as in all things, we might look to Jesus, who is truly our greatest example of all time. But certainly, thinking about young people, we could learn a great deal from this as well. And let's look together, Luke chapter 2. We'll take a moment, look at the young life of Jesus, Luke chapter 2. Luke 2, beginning in verse 39. When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned back to their home in Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. So they had been there in Jerusalem. They had worshiped. Things had taken place by way of bringing him before the temple, presenting him, if you will. And then it says, when they had performed all things according to the law, they go back home. Well, notice verse 40. The child, this is Jesus, he grew and became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I want you to understand that Jesus was, at this point in time, a child, a young child. And what we're taught from Scripture is that he grew, right? We could go to the end of this chapter, and we're going to find out that he increased, he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. That's kind of how this section of the story ends. But we have a little bit of a snapshot here, looking at Jesus as a child. Now, Jesus is the very Son of God, born of Mary, who was a virgin, by the way. But he is raised by Mary and Joseph, her husband. And in that home, he is still learning things. He's given rules, responsibilities, as any child would have. And he grew in that. He increased in that. He was given all those responsibilities as any other child. He wasn't set aside because he was the God child. No, he still was subject to his parents in that home. And we read on and we find this to be the case. Looking at verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days of the feast, in other words, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother, they didn't know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, in other words, there's a large group that's traveling back into Galilee to Nazareth. Probably a lot of family, a lot of friends, a lot of their neighbors. They're all traveling in a big group. It's safer to travel in this group. And so they're all traveling back. And they suppose that he is with the crowd. He's in the crowd. But he certainly wasn't. He had lingered behind, is what we're told here. Supposing him to be in the company, they went a whole day's journey, in fact, sought him among their relatives and their acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned back to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the teachers. These are the doctors of the law. These are the ones who teach the law of Moses. And he is both listening to them and he's asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I, we have sought you anxiously. We were worried to death about you." In other words, that's how we would say it. "You had us worried sick, thinking about that you might have been lost." And he said to them, "Why were you seeking me? Did you not know that I would be about my Father's business?" Put a little asterisk there and you can say, okay, this is something to remember, something to think about later, especially. They didn't understand the statement right now when he said that, when he spoke to them. But then, verse 51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth. So he goes home with them, as a good boy should, right? Goes home with them and was subject to them. Very easily, could insert the word, obedient to them. He was obedient to them. But his mother kept all of these sayings in her heart. In other words, in her mind, that asterisk is there. I must be about my Father's business. But I still wonder what that means. He is the God Son, isn't he? He is the one who has come from heaven, born of a virgin. His Father's business, his heavenly Father. His Father in heaven is the one. That's his business. That's why he's there. But understand, he's growing. Still learning things of the world, still learning to be part of his Father's business as he was growing up and learning those trades and those skills. Still basically like any good Hebrew boy would have done, he would have had tutelage along the way. He would have had training along the way in the law of Moses nonetheless. So it starts to make sense to us maybe when we think about why at 12 when he's there at the temple and he stays behind and he's thinking about his Father in heaven. He's thinking about all of the plan that God has sent him there for. Some of those things are starting to come to the mind and he's hearing the doctors of the law teaching and reading Scripture, teaching about certain things. And he's starting to ask them questions. I'm sure they must have been amazed as he was sitting there doing just that. And when he said this, his father and his mother, Joseph and Mary, they didn't quite get it, didn't quite understand it. But he goes home with them. And we're told that he is subject to them. He was obedient to them. And surely then if Jesus, the very Son of God, the one who was about his Father's business, continued to be subject to his parents, Joseph and Mary, then it's an absolute necessity for us to see the very same pattern for young people today, that they too are supposed to be obedient to their parents. And again, we might think that the most fortunate child in this world is the one who is blessed to have godly parents, a godly father and a godly mother who love that child as the very apple of their eye, who will not only do everything that child needs in life, they are going to supply all of that, but they're going to make sure that those things that are done in that child's life are done for the best for that child. Which means that they're given some rules and responsibilities in that home. They're given opportunity to grow and to increase in their wisdom, in their learning, in their knowledge, in their stature between God and man. That's the goal. That's the goal. We were talking about in the teen class just a little while ago, Anastasia brought up that sometimes it's the case that a child is raised up in that home and they go off and they leave that home and they go off into something else. They leave Christianity. They leave the faith, we might say. Why does that happen? Well, they have to make their own choices eventually. But the responsibility of that parent, of those parents while that child is in the home, is to be teaching them, guiding them, teaching them those things. But they have to also make sure that they are growing in their own faith. That by the time that they leave the home and go to college, by the time they have left the home and are marrying someone else, that they're looking for a godly spouse. They've been taught that. They've seen that in the home. Remember, we've talked about this from the earliest ages. They mimic what their parents are doing. They need to see that. But that has to translate eventually from the parents' faith to the child's faith. And so we have to start with obedience. Each child is responsible to obey their parents. I think about then Paul would even make the statement of Romans 1 and verse 30 in that list of those who had rebelled against God, those who were who would rather worship all of creation rather than the Creator Himself, that in that list, in the middle of that list, were those who were disobedient to parents. Isn't that interesting that that's in that list? Disobedient to parents. Romans 1 and verse 30. So that brings us to number two. Respect. Honor your father and mother. That's what he's saying. Honor them. Respect them. The child has the responsibility to learn that respect. By the way, again, they learn by seeing. They learn by doing what their parents are doing. What kind of respect then does the parents have in that home? That's what the child is learning. That's what they're seeing. Do they respect their parents? Do they, as husband and wife, do they respect one another? Do they have a respect for God? Do they have a respect for authority figures and authority and rules in general? Respect. Honor your father and mother. Why? That it may be well with you and you live long upon the earth. Through his obedience, his or her obedience, I would say, a child reveals their respect for authority, respect for their parents' right and obligation to guide and direct those parents or those children. They respect them because of their age. They respect them because of their knowledge, respect them because of their experience. Curtis, happy birthday, by the way. We were talking last week. I just thought I'd take another opportunity to get you. We were talking about last week. You know, our parents, they are so much smarter now than they were back then, right? When I was young, I didn't really see it. Maybe I didn't want to see it, whatever the case may be, because I thought I had it, right? I thought, I'm the smart one here. I'm going to do it my way. Oh, to my own detriment so many times, right? I'm probably the only one. That's the only one that's ever happened to, I'm sure. My parents are the smartest people I know now. Why is that? It didn't mean that I didn't necessarily respect them. But as I get older, I get wiser, start seeing things as they really are. That's what they have, though, when I'm this tall. That's what they had when I was so young and in their home. They had that then. I need to know that, and I need to honor them. I need to respect them in that way. They have the age. They have the wisdom. They have all the experience to guide me, to show me the way that I need to go, to teach me the way that I'm bent. That's Proverbs 22:6. Teach me to understand about God. Teach me to understand about the world. Teach me, give me wisdom how to deal with people in this life. And they, because they know me best, by the way, because my parents know me best, they're going to teach me the way that I best learn. That's what that passage means. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, not depart from it. They've been trained, educated in the things that they need to know, but they've been educated in the way that they literally are bent, the way that they're made. And if you have more than one child, then you know that each child is different, right? And they have to be trained up that way, the way that they learn. And so the respectful child will readily accept the advice given to him or her by their parents. And they are going to render whatever is required of them, as did our great example, Jesus. Not only that, then, think about purity. There it goes. Purity. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. The principle here is abstain from every form of evil. We, as parents, are training our children, giving them boundaries so that they stay away from those things that would be harmful. We're giving them boundaries not to keep them from something that is good for them, but to keep them away from things that are harmful to them. And God does the same thing with His children. But the principle we find in James 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God is this: visit the fatherless and the widows in their time of affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. To keep oneself pure. This goes back to what God has dealt with His people in every generation. When through the law, He would remind His people, be holy because I am holy. And I'll be to them a father, and they shall be unto me my children. Come out from among them, from the evil that is in the world. Why? So that I can be a father to them and they will be my children. Peter recounts that Old Testament phrase. He directly quotes, be holy for I am holy. It's taught over and over, this idea of purity, abstaining from every form of evil, running far clear of those things, keeping oneself unspotted from the world. That's the idea. This is Paul's advice to those in Thessalonica, but it is also applicable for every child in every home. It's the same idea. It's the same reason that that home has rules and boundaries that are set for those children. And proper parenting does just that. It keeps up all those guards, all of those protections for their children. Why? Because they love them. Because they belong to them. They're theirs. And they want the very best for them. So watching what your kids are watching, listening to what your kids are listening to, and just because it's cartoonish, doesn't make it good, pure, and wholesome. Placing some internet protections are needed and necessary today. Protect them. Pay attention to what they're seeing. What's on their phones? It's a computer in the hands. They can get anywhere in the world with their phones. Who are they texting? Who are they messaging? And not just messaging in text message, but messaging in social media apps. All of the social media platforms have the messaging capability. You need to know what's going on with your children. And yes, they have a right to give up that phone that you pay that bill for every month and for you to look at it because you're a parent. It is the right thing to do. And if a child is pure in their thoughts, in their speech, in their behavior, they are going to avoid a great deal of trouble, a lifetime possibly of trouble. Because a child is honoring his parents. He has a respect for them. Because he's going to obey his parents who have set parameters and rules in that home. The children are looking to those parents, especially those whose imitation or example is worthy of imitation. The role of the child in the home is the same of that child from Nazareth, who increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This role is the very same as it was for Jesus in Luke 2 and verse 51. So young people, understand your role to obey your parents. It's the right thing to do. Respect and honor your parents because they love you and they want the very best for you. Know also that we are God's children, His offspring. And certainly it is a blessing to be reared up in a Christian home. It's a blessing to have God's instructions as parents for raising children and to be able to provide those instructions for the young people as well. The psalmist tells us that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. So the Lord needs to be in that home, Psalm 127 and verse 1. And since I believe the success of the church depends upon the success of the home, they are directly related. They're directly related. And so when we start thinking about the church as the example for the home, as the home goes, so goes the church. Think about what that really means. And we provide all sorts of Bible classes to train children when they're here. But as parents, we have to take what they've learned here and continue to let that grow with them. Continue to let them ask questions. I don't know if you caught that or not, but Jesus asking questions to those doctors of the law, I think that's significant. It's a picture of if they were really, if he was really, really young, younger than 12, then he's probably sitting in the back seat somewhere, maybe of the chariot, going, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" But at 12, and knowing something about his father's business, he's been growing toward God. He is growing in his own faith, by the way. You see, Jesus was still man. Jesus, still human, had to make choices. We find out that he did so without any sin, Hebrews 4:15. But he had to make those choices. He had to learn those boundaries. And he did so by watching his parents and learning from them. But he starts to take scriptures and what he's hearing in scripture, and he asks questions. Don't ever, young people, don't ever stop asking questions. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. And Scripture has the answers for us. This is where we go to find the answers. If you ask a question to your parents and they say, "I don't know," that's okay. Here's your follow-up question. Can we study and find out the answer? May just be a reminder to your parents. But I'm going to bet, I'm not a betting person, I'm not all about gambling, but I'm going to bet on this one, that any parent that is worth their salt will say, "Yes, let's open the Bible. Yes, let's study. Let's find out what God says, what He wants us to know." There are some difficult questions that are asked. God has the answers. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. We've got to dig in and find it. And so that means for young people, you keep digging as well. Don't ever give up. This morning, as we think about each of our lives, as the offspring of God, made in His image, are we living the way that He would have us to live? Are we following His Son Jesus? Are we disciples of His? Having obeyed the gospel, believing Jesus to be the Son of God, repenting of sin, confessing our faith in Christ, being baptized into Christ, being baptized to wash away our sins, being baptized, being added to the church, Acts 2:47, Acts 22, verse 16. This is our Lord's plan to save us. And then for us to continue to grow in our faith, continue to grow in Christ, in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, specifically 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. But ever learning from Him and growing in Him. That's the responsibility that we all have before Him. And so this morning, if we can help, can encourage you in some way, if you have a need, come forward while we stand, while we sing this song.